Our reading this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were, staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who were speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Here ends the reading.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. The thing about the Holy Spirit, it's like the wind or fire. It's never predictable. The Holy Spirit's always here, but there's times when we're aware, it's more tangible, we're more aware of the Holy Spirit and what he is doing in our lives. And there might be some people here today where during the service so far, God's, through the Spirit, has touched on something. So if you're thinking about something else, if God is taking you in a different direction, run with it. Don't worry about listening to me. You're not going to get questions on it afterwards. So just let God meet, through the Holy Spirit, meet you where you are this morning. But for the rest of us, you can listen to me. But there again, if God says something, run with it. Yeah, takes you off at a tangent, because God does that sometimes. He does it to me. Someone will say something and I'm in a different direction entirely. That's fine, that's the Spirit. Because God knows where we are. God knows each one of us and he knows what we need on a particular day at a particular time. If you've been watching the news, this week, you'll have heard a lot about the 70th anniversary of D-Day. And there have been people who lived through that, telling their stories that they were there and all the horror and what they faced. And I suspect before they got there, they didn't know what to expect. A lot of them, obviously, were very young. Most of them hadn't been in battle. Oh, they'd done all the training. They knew how to fight. But they didn't know what war was actually like. They fought because they were told to, because they were prepared. Well, were they ready? That's another matter entirely. And because they believed it was right, they were doing it for the right reasons. And as we know, not everyone came back. Some people didn't even make it ashore. But listening to the survivors, they knew that was possible. Preparations were made. They gave letters for loved ones. They gave the cigarettes and money away, saying, I'm not going to need this anymore. But how does this link in to today, into Pentecost? Well, I'm going to start by looking at Peter. Now, for those of you who have heard me preach before, you'll know that actually Peter is one of my favourite, if not my favourite, Bible characters. So 3 years or so years ago, Peter was there, happily fishing. And then Jesus popped up and said, come on, follow me. Did Peter have any idea what he's letting himself in for? I suspect not. But there was something about this man, Jesus, that made him want to follow and go, promising something different. And as we know, Peter's walk with Jesus was very up and down. You know, one minute he gets it absolutely right, and the next minute he puts both feet in it. And just a few weeks ago, Peter has actually denied that he ever knew Jesus. When asked and challenged, he said, no, I don't know this man at all. And of course, as we know, Jesus was killed, but then raised from the dead. But even so, Peter still hasn't quite got it. Jesus has appeared to the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But he still hasn't got it. In fact, he'd gone back to what he was familiar with. Yeah, they'd gone fishing. And if you read John's Gospel, they even end up with a barbecue. Now Jesus has ascended into heaven, and he still hasn't quite got it. They're still stuck there in Jerusalem. And then came Pentecost, and everything changed. If you ask the veterans of D-Day, and other people in other conflicts, and other people who you hear of doing heroic acts, before they went, before they actually did something, could you do whatever? I'm sure most of them said, no way. I could never do that. And before Peter met Jesus, and even during the time he spent with Jesus, Peter was the same. If you told Peter, well, go give it a few years and you'll be speaking to several thousand people, well, Peter would have probably said, no way. Or knowing Peter, quite possibly thumped them. But here he is now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, speaking out boldly to thousands of people, proclaiming the good news, proclaiming that the prophecies are now fulfilled, that the Holy Spirit was available to all. And life is never going to be the same again. Not for Peter, not for the people who heard him, who took up the challenge, who were willing to let the Holy Spirit change things and change them. The Holy Spirit is nothing new. It's part of the Trinity, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Tom's got that subject next week. And if you go back right to the beginning of Genesis, the Holy Spirit is there, but it's only available to a few. Now, after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is available to all who believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died and rose again. And that's as true for us today as it was for the people in Jerusalem on that first Pentecost. It's not a once-given gift just for those people who were there, but to all believers, including us. Once we truly believe and accept who Jesus is, then we have the Holy Spirit available to us, with us, and for us. And if we accept that, then life can never be the same again. The Holy Spirit is there. We can ignore it. When we get those inner promptings, that feeling of warmth. But it's there, available to us. To paraphrase Spider-Man, although it didn't originate with this, but to paraphrase Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. And that's the same with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not just for us. It's not something we keep and keep to ourselves, but it's something out there for everyone. With the gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has said, "Right, I've done my bit, now it's over to you." No longer is Jesus doing it all. And actually, he never really was. If you look in the Gospels, particularly at the feeding of the 5,000, especially in Matthew, but a couple of the other versions as well, he wasn't doing it all. He was working with people. And equally, he's not sat there with his feet upon a cloud, drinking a cup of tea or sipping a glass of wine, with a Jaffa cake, of course. That's if Tom didn't get there first. He's not sat there laughing at us when we make mistakes or wringing his hands in despair, thinking, "Oh, what have they done this time?" It's not about us on our own. It's about working together with Jesus, working together in partnership through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't given for us to keep. It's for us to give away, to show and tell others. And of course, there's implications for us as individuals and as a church. Before Pentecost, people came up to Jerusalem for the festivals and to meet with God. But now, with the gift of the Spirit, as I reported in the reading we had from Acts, people hear Peter in their own language. But this means that the word now spreads out. No longer do people have to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem goes to them. The disciples spread the words to every corner of the earth. In the past, there's been a lot of said about getting people into church. That's what we need to do. We need to get people into church. And I'm not saying that isn't important to be here on a Sunday and meet and worship together. But that isn't the whole story. Bishop Julian has changed the emphasis. It's not about meeting in church. It's about meeting with Jesus. And the only way a lot of people out there can do that is through us. You hear about Back to Church Sunday, but it's no longer Back to Church Sunday because there's a whole generations out there that don't know about Jesus, don't know the stories, don't know what it can mean. It's about going out there and meeting them. Wherever we are, whatever we do, Jesus talks to us about being light and salt. That doesn't mean to say every conversation has to end with them, telling people that this is the good news. It's how we do it. It's how we act. It's how we behave towards each other. It's showing God's love in a different way rather than expecting people to come to church first and then meeting God. It's about meeting God and then possibly coming to church. But whether that's church here on a Sunday morning or something different, that is a different matter entirely. We need to take the church to people, not expect people to necessarily come to us. William Temple said that the church is the world's strangest club because it actually exists for the benefits of its non-members. But that means meeting the non-members, doing something different, being open, listening to God and taking a chance. Oh, it's nice to have everything in place, everything mapped out. You know, if we do X, we'll do Y, we do Z, we do A, B, and however many sets of the alphabet you want. It's all mapped out. We've got our plan and targets. But the Holy Spirit doesn't work like that. God doesn't work like that. He often shows us just enough for the next step, knowing that we have to do something, that prompting which says, do something, get out there. We might have some ideas, we might have plans, but God is God, and God's plans can change. Or they may not change, but we do. And so what we think we're going to do turns out to be something completely different. But that's the chance you take when you step forward with God, when you step forward in the power of the Spirit, those inner nudgings, those pictures, those words. Are we ready? Are we ready and willing to take that chance? Possibly not, because it's a bit scary doing something when you don't quite know what we're doing. It's easy here on a Sunday morning because the vast majority of people here know Jesus, know about the Holy Spirit, know God. Yet we can all develop our faith and grow, but we know about God. But taking that out into the world is not easy. If you'd ask the forces on D-Day, are you ready? You might have got a similar answer. Possibly not. I need more training. I need to do this. I need to do that. If you'd asked Peter just before the Spirit came, you know, go out and talk to the... Are you ready to go out and talk to all these thousands of people? I think he'd have got the same answer. Or maybe just a straight no. But what we have to recognise is when the time is right. When God is saying, that's enough, you've done enough talking for the moment, you've done enough planning, go now. The troops on D-Day probably thought that. You know, certainly, you know, it's a case of, okay, we're not ready, we're not necessarily fully prepared, but we need to go. Because if we don't go now, we will miss the opportunity. And who knows what the outcome of the Second World War would have been. If Peter had said, right, no, wait, you can do what you like with the Holy Spirit, but I'm not going out to talk to all those men. Well, the Holy Spirit might not have come in the same way. We might not be here today. But Peter recognised that the time was right. The time for action was now. So where's God prompting you this morning? Are we ready? Possibly not. There might be, yeah, there are some things sometimes that people have to work out and sort out, and that's important. But for some people here, it may be that God is saying, this is a time. This is a time to act. This is a time to do something. Put your hand in Jesus' hand. Let's walk forward together in the power of the Spirit. Let's take a chance. We might not be ready, but if we really knew what God wanted us to do, we'll never be ready. But sometimes it's recognizing, that's it. I need to do something, and I need to do something now. And when we take that chance, we've got to accept that life is never going to be the same again for us and for the people we meet. But even so, are we ready? Are we willing? And if that is the case, then let's say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and speak to each one of us today. For those of us who are ready, give us the courage and strength to do what you are calling to us to do. And if we're not, keep preparing our hearts and minds so that we can love you, we can worship you, we can serve you and tell others about your love. Remembering that we don't do it in our own strength, but in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Amen.